Do you believe that tonight? Praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be in the house of God tonight? On Saturday night, what a privilege it is to be in the house of the Lord. We've got folks scattered from Roan Mountain to Texas. But we're glad you're here tonight. We're so glad you're here. We have come to have church, and I believe the Lord's going to meet with us in a wonderful way. I know the meetings out in Texas, they say they've just been tremendous. And we just continue to pray for that service. I guess we'll end tomorrow sometime. But we're here tonight to have church. We've come to worship a risen Savior. The only God that was put to death that come back to life is the one we serve. Aren't you glad? Everybody else is in a grave that was worshipped as a prophet or a god. They're still in the grave. But Jesus Christ, He's alive tonight. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's give Him a real good hand clap of praise tonight. You love Him with all your heart. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now I'm going to ask you to turn around and shake somebody's hand. You may have to go to Milligan College to find somebody. But shake somebody's hand here tonight. Praise the Lord. Let's sing it again, brother. Play the song. Bless you, brother. Say praise the Lord. Amen. We've just got a couple requests tonight. If you don't mind just to stand for a minute. Brother Wes, I want you to come tonight and lead us to the Lord. Maybe give us a little testimony about Vacation Bible School. Understand everything went really, really well over there. And we'll recognize all you folks in the morning, but we want everybody to be here so we can let them know what a good job was done over there. I want to pray for June Barker. He's in the hospital in Abingdon, Virginia, with a broke hip. Linda Krager sends that in, so we want to pray for that need tonight. I want to pray for Brother Ed Yance, a very severe case of pneumonia. So let's pray that the Lord would give him healing in his body. All the unspoken prayer requests tonight, if you have a need, something you'd like for this group to pray about. Aren't you glad we're serving a risen Savior? Aren't you glad He's alive tonight? Look at somebody and say, He is alive. He is alive. Yes, He is. Praise the Lord. Brother Wes, come tonight. Take us to the Lord. Give us just a little brief summary of a Vacation Bible School, if you don't care about it. All right. God bless you.
God bless you, brother. First of all, I'd just like to say Brother Michael Bailey really just puts his whole heart into Vacation Bible School and just works so hard. Hardly anybody, you know, really realizes just how much work that he puts into it. He and his family, and the other volunteers that help him and everything. It's just such a labor of love. And, you know, the kids really appreciate it. They're just overwhelmed because of the beauty of the whole setup, the decorations and everything. They're just overwhelmed by it. And I was telling one of the sisters that was helping the other night, I said, you know, this is a blessing to these kids. And, you know, even the little bitty kids that don't really maybe understand everything right now, they're going to associate that good feeling. And they're going to associate, you know, somebody caring enough to go to all this trouble for them. They're going to associate that love with church and with the body of Christ. And it's just such a good thing to see, you know, the Spirit working in that way. I know a lot of the adults don't get to see all the work that went into it, but it was just marvelous. The hours and hours and just the effort and everything went into it was amazing. The kids were an absolute blessing. The young people are just, I was telling the group of teenagers in our part of the meeting, there was a huge turnout, just a great big group of kids. And they were all there, and they were just so dedicated to being there. And I was comparing them to what I see out in the world. And we just don't realize how blessed we are. You know, I said, if we took a group, I told them, I said, if we took a group of young people out of the mall today and set them down beside of you, I said, the contrast would just be unbelievable. I said, you're just so clean and so beautiful and so godly. You're just products, you know, of the gospel. And it's just amazing to me. I'm so proud of them, and I love them so much. And it's just amazing to see, you know, the way that the Lord works through them. And some of them don't realize just how important they are to the body of Christ. Just simply walking a Christian life and being set aside and separate and being different from the world, you know, what a testimony that is. It's one of the things, you know, that drew me in and made me see there was something more godly about what was being preached and what was believed here than there was where I was at. It's a real testimony. It's a life. And, you know, I realize, you know, that a lot of the people who help with that sort of stuff feel unappreciated. They feel that way, but that's not the truth. It's just not the truth. You're so loved and so appreciated. And everybody that would like to help can't always be there, and it makes it a lot of work, but there's a reward waiting for you folks. I'm just here to tell you there is. We want to thank you so much. Let's bow our heads now. Father, it's such a glorious and wonderful thing to be able to come together and worship you. And we know that right now, like Brother Louis said, we're kind of scattered out. There's many of us at family camp. There's many who just gave everything. They just left everything on the field at Bible school. And maybe they're just wound down tonight. But Lord, we're here tonight to worship you, to lift up your name and to thank you. The bride of Christ is gathered all over the world tonight, I know, in different places. But right here, this part of the body, Lord, we're here to praise you and to lift you up and to worship you. Lord, we know that you've given us a God that we can love, that we can honor, a God that's our hero, a God that has given us reason for faith, has given us reason to love him back. Lord, you've opened yourself up and made yourself so available to us through prayer. And we can trust you with everything, all the time, every day, all day long. These prayer requests, Lord, Brother Ed and Sister June, Lord, and put these requests before you, before your bride and before you tonight, Lord. And we just agree together right now in Jesus' name for these needs. And we thank you, Lord, for everything you're going to do. For all the hands that were uplifted, Lord. We know sometimes the most serious, the most dreadful prayer request is the one that can't be uttered. That's inside, being just barely held by a broken heart, Lord. Well, Lord, we just ask you to comfort those that are struggling tonight, that are going through hardship. We ask you to be with those families that have trials coming against them right now, Lord. And Lord, we just ask you to strengthen us as we stand together in your name. Lord, we proudly, proudly carry that name in this world. And we just ask, Lord, that as our brother comes out here, you bless him. You speak to us, Lord. You draw us up close. If you reveal yourself, Lord, in weakness and humility and open your heart to us, Lord, we'll accept that. You have nothing to fear from your bride, Lord, because we're not going to taunt you and spit on you and crucify you. We're going to accept you and love you. Lord God, if you have to chastise us, that's fine too. We're your children and we'll take every bit of it and we love it. And we thank you for anything you've got planned for us tonight, Lord. And we just lift up your holy name. And we come in Jesus' name praying and believing. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Wes. Let's give all of our young people a nice hand tonight. Amen.
Praise the Lord. And just being over there the other day and seeing all that had taken place and all the work that was involved, you think it just throwed together overnight, but I'm telling you it wasn't. It was a lot of preparation, and we want to say thanks, and we're going to do it again tomorrow. Recognize all that we can. All of our visitors tonight, if you're here, God bless you. We're glad to have you. All those that are streaming tonight, we pray this service would be a great blessing. Ushers, why don't you come tonight? Let's receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. Brother Ronnie Cobb, is that you back there? You and Sister Tina and some of your family here? Well, you're not visiting. You're just back home. And that's the way we always look at that. You just come back home for a while. We're glad to have you folks in the service. Brother Philip and I guess Sister Brandy are going to be singing for us just in a few minutes. But let's sing a song tonight. Just as we go on into the service, I trust that you're going to be praying. And I guess Brother David Seiler is our speaker for tonight. We just want to pray that the Lord would help our brother. I know he studied, prepared himself, and we want to pull on the gift of God that's in our brother's life. Brother David Seiler is a tremendous asset to this assembly. And we certainly appreciate he and his family. We certainly do. Let's sing a song tonight, brethren. I'm going to hold to God's unchanging hand. Where else would you want to hold on to? There's nothing to hold on to. You're holding on to the hope of politics. You better turn her hand loose real quick. But we're going to hold to God's unchanging hand. Let's sing about it tonight. I'm going to hold to God's unchanging hand. Yes, I'm going to hold to God's unchanging hand. Things eternal. I'm gonna hold to God's unchanging hand. Well, we're gonna hold to God's unchanging hand. Yes, we're gonna hold to God's unchanging hand. Shall you?
God's unchanging hand. Sing that chorus one more time. We're going to hold to God's unchanging hand. We're going to hold to God's unchanging hand. Oh, build your hopes on things eternal.
Amen. Brother Baker, if you get ready to come and sing, Brother Brandon's going to sing, Brother Phillips, Sister Brandy is going to sing. We're just going to have a small singspiration here just for a few minutes. But let's sing this little chorus just before our singers get ready to sing tonight. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. My hope is in a good source. Is that you? Is your hope in a real good source tonight? It's because He lives. I can face tomorrow. Yes, because He lives. All my fear is gone. Because I know say amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. Give our singers a nice hand tonight as they get ready to sing. Brother Baker, go ahead. Get over here. We're ready for you, buddy.
The sun goes down. but sometimes I feel like heaven's come down. Sometimes I feel like heaven's come down. Heaven's come down on me. Praise Him in the morning, praise Him in the noontime, praise Him. Come on and praise Him, praise Him when the sun goes down. Oh, praise Him, oh, praise Him. Praise Him on the organ, praise Him on the cymbals, praise Him, oh praise Him. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord, and I want to praise Him, oh praise Him. Praise Him in the morning, praise Him in the noontime, praise Him, oh praise Him, praise Him when the sun goes down.
I'm going to get some help tonight. I guess this is kind of a Father's Day song, doing honor to the Lord, and I was blessed to have a great dad, and we're even blessed to have a perfect father, aren't we? And we all have the same one. I'm so thankful. You know, I feel like a failure most of the time as a dad, but I know this little guy, he has a good father, a perfect father, and I'm thankful that when I come short, he can look to one that never comes short, never will come short for him. Y'all just help us if you know this one.
Thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father, it's who you are. What we need before we It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Because you are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. In all of your ways, to you us. Oh, it's love so undeniable, I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable, I can hardly think as you call. As you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still into love, 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 love. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am. It's who I am.
Took my sins away, didn't know where they were cast. So I opened up my Bible and I began to look around, searching for my yesterdays, but they could not be found there. Under the ocean floor, my sins are buried deep in God's forgiveness. I'm free like I have never been before. Remember no more, cast down into the sea of His forgetfulness. My sins are gone, they're under the ocean floor.
Satan sends his divers down to find my past mistakes. His mission is to search for sin that God has washed away. He scours the darkest caverns through the wreckage of my life. But the Word says what He's searching for, He will never find. 'Cause they're under the ocean floor. My sins are buried deep in God's forgiveness. I'm free like I have never been before. Remember no more, cast down into the sea of His forgetfulness. My sins are gone, they're under the ocean floor.
Under the ocean floor.
My sins are buried deep in God's forgiveness. I'm free like I have never been before. Remember no more, cast down into the sea of His forgetfulness. My sins are gone, they're under the ocean floor. My sins are gone, they're under the ocean floor.
singing tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand to our feet. Time to go on into the service. Brother David's going to come bring us the word of the Lord. The last time, well, not the last time that Brother David preached, but Sister Tessa, it was during the passing of Brother Joe. Brother David ministered and came out and he sang this song. And I'll never forget your daughter from Florida. What a blessing she got out of this song. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. And what a blessing that song. It's just an old song. Just we've sung it 100 years, but what that song meant to her. And we want to sing that song, bring Brother David out with it tonight. We are on the battlefield. If you think you've been called to a picnic, you're wrong. We're on a battleground. But you know what? It don't matter. We're winning. We are winning. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Well, I promised Him that I'm going to serve Him till I die. And I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Oh, we're on the battlefield for our Lord. Yes, I'm.
How many believes we're winning the battle tonight? I trust that you are. While you're standing with us this evening, I'm going to invite you into the book of Psalms chapter 27 tonight. I want to go to the book of Psalms chapter 27. Certainly a privilege to be here in the house of the Lord this weekend with you. And just looking forward to what the Lord is going to speak to our hearts. And knowing that we're here to receive something from Him. And out of all the people that's gone, it's good to see my amen corner still here tonight. Yeah. I said, Brother David, who is that? Well, you know who you are. Amen. So I'm going to preach and you're going to say amen. And we're going to receive something tonight. So I'm used to small crowds, and some places you'll go and just preach to a handful. So this is about 10 times as many people as I usually preach to in some different places around the world. But you can be here and I can be here. But if He comes by, He can do things me and you know nothing about. Amen. Psalms 27, I want to look at verse 1. I want to speak on this subject this weekend. Lord willing, we'll pick it up in the morning because we won't get done this evening. So I'm not going to just try to wear you out tonight with it. But I want to build a foundation for where we're going to be going tomorrow. This is Psalms 27, verse 1. Of course, we know this is Brother Brown's his text for when he preached the message of the rapture. And he reads this out of the book of Psalms. And to be honest with you, to this day, I've never heard any other preacher ever use the subject of the rapture from Psalms 27 except what God had done in this age. And the reason why is because the mystery of what lays here become revealed to you and I, knowing that there's something that David was looking at, that David prophetically was speaking of something that was coming one day. Verse 1 said, in the Psalm of David said, the Lord is my light, my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, they came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. We know in the hour of the rapture we're going to get our bodies changed, that death is going to stumble and fall and we get changed. Though a host should encamp against me, not might camp, but they're going to, a host shall camp against me, and my heart shall not fear, though war should rise against me. In this will I be confident. The one thing I desire of the Lord, oh God, I hope you desire the same tonight, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble, how many believes we're there? In the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. The literal word pavilion there is tent. He will hide me in His tent. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about. Therefore I offer in this tabernacle sacrifices of joy. And I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Amen. Let's bow our hearts and ask the Lord to help us. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for the reading of the Word tonight. And Lord, we're just under great expectation this evening that You would just come now. And Lord, use this human instrumentality. Take us into Your hands, Lord, me and this congregation. And we ask, Lord, that You would just take the bread of life and may You break it to us once again. And Lord, how we need You just to take, Lord, and may You lift our hearts higher, Lord. May You say something that will be edifying and encouraging to the house of God tonight. Lord, You know every need that's represented among us. And Lord, You're the need maker and the need meter, Lord. You're our great provider. And so we, Lord, we approach You tonight asking that You would come. Have liberty in this place. May the Spirit of God move among us tonight, Lord. Anoint us with the gospel, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. And everybody said amen. Amen. God bless you. You may have your seats for a few moments. I'll just go ahead and just warn you right now. I'm a little excited about this subject this weekend. So the Lord has just been, amen. The Lord's just given us some tremendous things to look at. And so just try to just stay in and hang on for a few minutes. And we won't have no time to background. And I know most of this will be familiar from things that we've heard through the message. But Lord willing, I'd like to take this and tie some of these things together. I'll take my subject out of verse 5. For He said, in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. The secret of His tabernacle shall be hiding me. And so we'll just call it this, the secret place of the Most High. The secret place of the Most High. How many knows what it is? I trust you're in it tonight. Amen. It's not a geographical location. It's a person. Amen. We know that when Brother Ram uses this, of course, of the rapture, he's showing us that what is taking place under Psalms 27 is the things that's going to be happening and transpiring during the hour that the rapture is going to be taking place. Now, we could continue with that thought of Psalms, but Brother Ram takes us to, he takes us to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and he tells us that when you're talking about the rapture, he uses 1 Thessalonians 4, where Paul said that the coming of the Lord comes with three distinct things. He said it comes with a shout, it comes with a voice, and then it comes with the trump of God. Now, we know that the shout is the message, it's the living bread of life that has been sent to gather the bride together. And then we know that the voice, of course, is the voice of the resurrection that calls the dead from the graves. And then the trumpet, of course, we know to be the trumpet that calls us all together. We caught up and we are headed to that great feast. And I trust you're one of them. And so Brother Ram has taken this subject and he begins to inquire this of Psalms, where David is looking at this, because the psalmist David is, when he looks at this, he's telling us that during the time of this rapture, whenever there is trouble on every hand, he lets us know it's in that hour when trouble comes among us and it gets so dark that God's going to take a living group and pull us out of here. And we know that whenever David began to describe this in Psalms 27, he begins with words of encouragement. And he's showing us that in the foundation of this rapture and what's coming, he's telling us that when it's dark, you're going to have light. And he tells you, you do have light, and that light is going to be in you. And the reason why you would have light is because it's such a dark time. But he says that the Lord is my light and my salvation. So we have light in this hour. And I'll just say this, not everybody has the light. And we know not everybody has salvation, but the elected, the bride, will have a light within her dwellings. It'll be as it was there whenever Israel was coming out of Egypt, how that down there in Goshen they had light when everybody else was in darkness. And they had light in their dwellings because He is a God of light. And we know that David is saying that no matter how dark it is, don't fear about the darkness. You've got light in your dwelling. It doesn't matter how dark it gets, and it's going to be dark, but you've got light to be able to give you a path to be able to get out of here during that time. Now, and not only does He tell us that we got light, but He says that during that time, there will be no need to fear. Now, we know when Brother preached the rapturing, he actually talked about rapturing faith. And you cannot have fear and faith on the scene at the same time. So if we're going to have faith, you cannot have fear. And He's letting us know it's going to be an hour that the ultimate faith is going to come among us. And I'll just say this, not just mere mortal faith, which every man's been allotted, but the faith I'm talking about is a perfect faith. Because He's not telling us it's just for the prophets or the men that's gone by, but He's letting us know that the whole body can come to a position in Christ where they can obtain perfect faith. Amen. Now, then David says, he goes on into verse 2 and he says, when the wicked, even my enemies. I want you to notice, he's not saying if the wicked, he said when the wicked. Even mine enemies and my foes come against me, upon me to eat up my flesh. They stumble and fall. He's letting us know that during the hour of the rapture, you will be attacked on every side from your enemies. It's not going to be a time to let down the standard. It's not going to be a time to let down your faith. It's during that time we must keep our faith. We must stand more than we've stood in every age. Paul said, having done all to stand, just stand. When you can't do nothing else, just stand, brother. When you don't know where to go, stand. When you don't know how to pray, stand. And it came upon me to eat up my flesh. They stumbled and they fell. Something is going to happen to my body. That the last enemy, and Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, the last enemy is death. When death comes to eat up my flesh, he's going to trip. He's going to stumble. He's going to fall because something has happened to me. Amen. Though a host should encamp against me. Oh, think about it. A host of hell coming against you and I. And then we know the Bible tells us, and under Recognize Your Day in its message, Feast of the Trumpets, how there's been 200,000 demons been released out of that spiritual river Euphrates. And Brother said it's not been released upon the church, but he said it's been released upon the bride. A host of the enemy is coming among us, and they're trying to pull us away from this secret place. But when he comes to get me, he's too late. When he comes to get you, it's done too late. He cannot get us because we're already sealed in Christ. We've entered into that secret place where Satan can't get in there and he can't pull you out of it. Oh my, there's been an invisible union take place. Come on somebody. There's been an invisible union take place and Satan cannot get to where you are. And Brother Ram said, if he could get to you, he said he'd have to come in and go through the same process that you went through, and then he wouldn't be your enemy, he'd be your brother. He cannot get the elected. He cannot get the predestinated. He can't get the chosen ones of God. She's already been united with Christ in this hour. Amen. David tells us, out of all the things that I would desire, verse 4, the one thing that I've desired. Oh, how can I say this to make you understand? All those other seals meant a lot to me. But none of them meant as much as this seal has meant. The thing that I've wondered about my entire life. How many knows where I'm at? The thing I've wondered about my entire life, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me. He shall hide me. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. I like the end of this verse. He shall set me upon a rock. And now because I'm on a rock, I can go to verse 6. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore, I will offer this tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing unto the Lord. He put me on a rock, I can rejoice. He put me on a rock, I can be excited, because I got somewhere I can stand. Hallelujah. Oh my. David said to hide me in the secret of His tabernacle. He calls it His pavilion. So it looks like maybe a pavilion, a tabernacle. I don't know. It looks like one of them. Anyway, I want to hide in it. Not just, now notice, not just any place. Don't just hide me any place. But when David said he wanted to be hid in the tabernacle, he's referring to the tabernacle in the wilderness. Of course, we know the tabernacle had the outer court and then the inner court. But then there's a special place that's within the inner veil. Amen, somebody. And it's called the holiest of all. And David is saying, I want Him to hide me and put me in His tabernacle. I don't want to live on the outer courts. I don't want to live on the outer courts, because there's rainy days, there's sunny days, there's snowy days, there's cold days, there's hot days. I don't want to live like that. I don't want to live like the Pentecostals. I don't want to live where you're up one day and down the next. You're out one day, you're back in the next. That's not the way I want to live. Take me inside this place. Take me inside where there's an atmosphere that is stable. David's saying, I want to dwell. I want to dwell in the secret. I don't want to just dwell in the tabernacle. I want to dwell in the secret of His tabernacle. And I'll say this, that's where the original manna is at. That's where the mercy seat is at. That's where the original manna, a handful of that original manna, is inside that holiest of all. That's where the Shekinah glory is at. Hallelujah. That's where the original word is at. Oh, I feel good right now. He says, that's where I want to dwell at. I want to dwell where the original word is at. When the hour of the rapture, He's going to hide us where the original word is at. He's going to hide us under the Shekinah glory. He's going to hide us behind that inner veil. For the mercy seat, of course, the mercy seat being the cherubims with their wings is, maybe if we had the photo, that the mercy seat, of course, would be the ark of the covenant. It would have the cherubims with their wings pointed forward. And David, when he's looking at the secret of His tabernacle, he's saying, that's where I want to live at. I want to live right underneath that mercy seat. I want to live under the mercy seat where there's security from my enemies. I want to live under the mercy seat where there's a place to be able to stand upon the rock. David said it like this in Psalms 91. It said, then notice David says, He that dwelleth, not come and go, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Notice Psalms 91. He wants us to abide and dwell under the secret place of the Most High, under the shadow of the Almighty. Because the Ark of the Covenant has the two cherubims on both sides of the Ark, and there the light will be above those cherubims, shining down upon the cherubims. And when their wings would come together, it would produce a shadow. Come on, somebody. In produce of shadow, because the light was shining upon the mercy seat. And David said, that's where I want you to hide me at. Hide me under the wings. Hide me under his wings in the shadow of the Almighty. That's where I want to dwell at. That's where I want to live at. I want to live underneath the angel's wings. I'm going to say it again. I want to dwell underneath that mercy seat. That's where I'm protected at. That's where I got peace at. That's where I'm safe at. That's where I got security at, is under the wings of the Almighty. In an hour when the enemy's all around us, hide me under the wings of Jehovah. Hide me in that secret place of the Most High. Oh, during the hour of the rapture, he's showing us that when the rapture comes into process, he's showing that we've got to be under the angel's wings. We've got to be under the angel's wings. And I'll just remind you, under the first pull, Brother Ram said there, he said, I saw small birds. He said, but then under the second pull, he said, I seen bigger birds like doves. Come on, somebody. But under the third pull, preach, Brother David. Under the third pull, he said there was angels. There was angels under that third pull. He said, remember, it was in that cloud of witnesses. It was in that cloud of angels that I saw an angel more notable than any other angel. Amen. Understand, during the hour of the rapture, angels are going to be present. And it's underneath the angels. It's where I want you to hide me at. Oh God, I don't want to get ahead of myself. But underneath those angels' wings was a face. I said under the angels' wings, it made a face. I want to live during the hour of the rapture. I want to live in the face. In the showbread of his face. On the hour that the seals is coming open. And their words being restored underneath that secret of the seventh seal. That's where I want you to hide me at. Underneath, remember, because when the seventh seal come open, it was opened in silence. I said it's a secret. It was opened in silence. But I said because the devil couldn't get to it as long as it's in my heart. So we see, there's got to be a place that the bride is living at during the hour of the rapture. And David calls it the secret place of the Most High. Now, we know that, that being said, if that's where we're going to abide at and dwell at, that's exactly where the enemy's going to come against us. The greatest of our battles will be trying to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. See, Satan will try to keep us from dwelling in the secret place. We wonder in this hour, why is it so hard to pray? We wonder why. Why is it so hard to find time to read our Bibles? It's because every gun in hell is aimed at us and it's an on siege from the very enemy. Amen. Church, do you believe that tonight? Oh, but I got a hiding place. I said, I got a hiding place. You've got a hiding place. It's the best storm shelter that's ever been built. I said, it's the best fallout bunker known to man. It's waterproof. It's fireproof. It's bombproof. It's bulletproof. It's come on, somebody. It's ecclesiastical proof. Amen. It's just church proof. It's religious proof. We don't want to just be religious. We want to have the very same life that was in our Savior. We want it in us. Hallelujah. It's not made out of steel. It's not made out of bolts. It's not made out of screws or wood. It's not even made out of concrete. It's made out of angels' wings, feathers. Program tells us the handwriting on the wall. He said, I want to assure the church tonight, there is a place for the church. Hallelujah. And it's a shelter. It's not made out of steel beneath the ground. It's made out of feathers. Under his wings, the church will safely take her place and position. Again, the Queen of Sheba, under his wings, the church will abide. And we'll be lifted up in the glory away from the things of the world. Where's it going to happen at? Underneath His wings. Under the shadow of the Almighty. That's where we're going to find our position at. That Ram is telling us our position is found underneath His wings. Our place of safety is under His wings. It's under His wings. The whole church raises back up to glory. Jesus Christ the same. Brother Ramsey said, see, under His wings. Oh, I like that shelter sweetly, peacefully abide. Knowing that as soon or before that bomb even gets a whistle to start, on the wings He'll bear us up. That's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm looking for. That great rapture. That great rapture and approach of our Lord Jesus. Again, the uncertain Sam. You can dig down and get away from it. There's no way to escape it. There's only one shelter that you can get under. And that shelter's not made out of steel. It's made out of feathers under His wings. That's the only shelter. That's the only shelter. Go above it. It's the rapture coming. Grass Valley, Joel, California, Brother M says, under His wings is where we rest waiting. Come on, Ruth. Come on, Ruth. It's because we're under, He has spread His garment over us. We have met Him on the threshing floor. We met Him on the threshing floor. And He's taken His garment and He's spread it over the bride. And now all you have to do, Ruth, is rest and wait under His wings. Hallelujah. Under His wings. I can rest and wait in safety. Glory. Oh, we rest waiting. When the bomb flies, don't you worry about that. What's He saying? Don't fear. Don't fear in the hour of the rapture. He's telling you, you got light in your dwelling. He's the light of my life. You should not fear. Don't fear in that hour. Don't you worry about that. Don't you worry about that. Don't you worry about that. Because we'll be flying too. I said, we'll be flying too. Yeah, the enemy's going to come. Yes, Satan is bringing everything he's got. And they're going to come against us. And they may fly upon us, but we're going to fly too. The closer they come upon us, the higher we get. Right up to meet Him in the air. Caught up to meet Him. Caught up. Rapture. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. He just brought in 1 Corinthians 15. We shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And then Paul doesn't just tell us that we're going to be changed. He gives us the scenario of the change. He said we'll be changed in a moment, twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. And Brother Ram said the last trump is the same time that the last angel is giving his message. Notice, we would see Jesus. It's under His wings we're resting. Before it explodes, we'll be gone to a land where there's no sickness. There's no sorrow. Where old age will be renewed back to the youth. We'll be renewed back to youth and be that way forever. So He's telling us by the conglomeration, the congealing of these quotes, He's telling us that underneath His wings is where we get lifted at. It's where we get raptured at. It's where we find rest at. It's where we wait at. It's where we get renewed at. It's literally where we get changed at, is in the secret place of the Most High. Amen. Everything the believer needs is in the secret place under His wings. You believe that? David says it like this, speaking on the same subject of being underneath it. He said, keep me as the apple of thy eye and hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Psalm 17:9, from the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies who can pass me about. Again, David says in Psalm 36:7, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Oh, therefore the children of men, they put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. Psalms 57:1 to the chief musician. Notice David, when he was running from Saul in the cave, David said, "Be merciful to me, O God. Merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Oh yea, in the shadow of thy wings I make my refuge until the calamities be overpassed." Again, David says in Psalm 61:4, "I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings." But again, he says, "Because thou hast been my help." And the church said, "Amen. Amen. Thou hast been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice." I got a place to stand. I got a place to rest. I got a place to be raptured. And he tells us, when you get under them, you got a place to rejoice at. Hallelujah. You've got a place to rejoice under the shadow of the Almighty. Again, David says in Psalm 65:4, "Blessed is the man whom thou choosest." Oh, I say he's blessed. "He causes to approach unto thee." He chooses him. And then he causes him to approach, that he may dwell in thy courts. Glory. "Who shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple?" Now watch what David's referring to. He's talking about the priest, the Levitical priesthood, that would go into the tabernacle in the wilderness. And he's showing us it's not what man has chose. Come on, somebody. But it's actually being chosen by divine favor by God to go into the holy place. Not just anybody can go in. Not just anybody's bride. You must be chosen, elected, predestinated to be the bride of Christ in this hour. And when he chooses you, he causes you to approach even into the holy temple. So he's telling you, to be in the temple, you've got to be elected. To be in the secret place, you've got to be chosen. Amen. But once you get there, you're satisfied. He said, "You may dwell in the courts, and you shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even thy holy temple." You're not upset that you're chosen. You're happy about it. "I'm satisfied, Lord. I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied tonight." Oh my, David's telling us about the temple that was built in the wilderness. And I want to remind you, in Exodus, underneath the making of this temple, that in Exodus 25:8, God approaches Moses, and God tells Moses he wants a place to dwell at. And I heard Brother Ram say, just before I come out, Brother Ram said that God was speaking to him and saying, "I've always wanted a place to be able to abide at." So he tells Moses to let them make me a sanctuary because I want to dwell among them. He's given the secret of what he wants to do. Now watch how strange that is. It's because everybody else is trying to get where he is. Everybody else is trying to ascend to get higher than they ever have. But God comes to them and he says, "I want to come down and I want to dwell among you." So I want you to let them build me a tabernacle. And Exodus 25:9 says, "Build it according to all that I show thee, after the pattern." Oh God, we could preach right there all night. After the pattern of the tabernacle. So he's the prophet, and God's going to show the prophet the pattern on the mountain to how he wants a place to dwell. Let me catch this now. Here's a prophet. He's going to the mountain, and on the mountain, the prophet's going to get caught up. It's your Bible, ain't it? It's the message, ain't it? So Moses goes to the mountain, and God catches Moses up on the mountain, and God shows Moses the pattern of the way the tabernacle's to be built. Now, I could take you to the book of Hebrews. I could take you to the New Testament, show you that he built it according to the pattern that he showed to Moses on the mount. And he showed him according to the blueprint that was in the heavens. So the tabernacle that's in the heavens, he wants it to be replicated on earth. Amen. So he catches the prophet up and he reveals to him the pattern of the outer court, the inner court, and the secret place. And so when Moses come back off the mountain, Moses has a revelation of God's dwelling place. I said when he went back east, glory, he's got the revelation of where God wants to dwell at. Brother M says like this in Revelation chapter 4. Brother M said Moses was taken up into heaven. Glory. Moses was taken up from the earth into heaven and saw the altar of God. Is that right? He sees it. He sees the design. He sees the pattern. And God sets him back down. Glory to God. I said he got picked up, but God put him back down. And he says like this in Exodus 25. And look thou that thou make them after their pattern, which I showed to thee on the mount. Hebrews 8:5. Who's serving to the example of the shadow of heavenly things. As Moses was admonished of God as he was about to make the tabernacle. For he saith, he that make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. It's on the mount that Moses gets lifted up. It's on the mount. This is where the revelation broke. It was on the mount. It's where the secret got unveiled. It was on the mountain where the silence broke. Amen. Concerning this secret place. Then in Exodus 25 and 20. He tells them, and the cherubim shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and their faces shall look to one another. Toward the mercy seat shall their faces of cherubims be. And thou shalt put the mercy seat above the ark. Above the ark. So it's actually elevated. The mercy is above the word. Think about this. It's actually above the word, beneath the wings of the angels. And the ark, in the ark, shalt thou put the testimony that I shall give thee. Watch verse 22. And there, I'm going to meet with thee. That'll be the third pool. And there I will meet with thee. Can you see the picture? Can you see a perfect parallel of what has happened in our day? Is the pattern that God started with. He is Alpha and He's Omega. If He starts that way, He's going to end that way. The way the pattern is, it cannot be deviated from. It cannot be turned away from. It must be according to the blueprint. I'm not going to meet with you in the outer courts. I'm not going to meet with you at the laver. That's not where my chosen meeting place is. That's not the secret place. I'm not going to meet with you under the church ages. Amen. But after you get past the candlesticks. Come on, somebody. After you walk past the candlesticks. And you find the veil that's there before the ark and before the ages. There's going to be a veil there. But you've got to go beyond that veil. There's going to be a lot of people who's going to come to that veil. And they're going to turn away from it. Come on, somebody. Let me say it like this. They don't like the veil that God introduces it by. They don't like the way that God preaches it by. They say he's a woman hater. Amen. They say he's mixed up in his doctrine. They don't like the veil. But if you can find somebody who can go beyond the veil, if you can find somebody who's willing to enter in. I'm going to say it again. You got to find somebody who's willing to go beyond the veil. But Jim, we've had a lot of people get stuck at the veil. Amen, somebody. All they want to look at is the veil. All they want to talk about is the veil. All they want to preach about is the veil. Brother, I didn't get stuck at the veil. I thank God for the veil. We praise God for the veil. We've rallied around the veil. We rejoice around the veil. But there's somewhere else that God wants His chosen, elected, predestined sons and daughters of God. You've got to go beyond the veil. with that bride in the outer courts. I can't meet with her because the candlesticks are lit sometimes and they get blown out sometimes and they are lit. Some days they're up, some days they're down, some days they're in, some days they're out. Come on, somebody. I can't meet with you like that. I can't meet with you like that. I can't meet with you question whether I'm right or wrong. I can't meet with you question the validity of this message. Oh God, that was good. Thank you, Lord. I can't meet with you like that. I need people. I need people who's willing to be hid. I need people who's willing to hide. I need people who's willing to stand upon that rock no matter who comes or who goes, who believes it, who doesn't believe it, who comes, who stands, who quits. I need somebody who's going to stand on the rock of the revelation of this hour. I need somebody who really believes it. And when you get in there, I'll meet with you there. In there's where I'll meet with you. In the secret place of the Most High. Verse 40, verse 32, Exodus 40, 32. And then when they went to the tent, they come. Better raise a different language. Hang on, somebody. And when they went to the tent of the congregation, and when they came near to the altar, they washed. And the church said, amen. As the Lord commanded the prophet. And he reared the court round about the tabernacle of the altar and set up the hanging of the court gate. Watch, 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 watch. So Moses finished the mystery. He starts it. Can't get ahead of myself, but I can't hardly keep from it. He starts it, but then his hands finishes it. Moses finished the work. Hang on, hang on, hang on. He finished what God ordained him to do. Now, the Levites has got to come to their position. What are we going to do? We fixing to worship God. I mean, we fixing to worship God. They's fixing to be some shouts. They's fixing to be some blood. They's fixing to be some washing. Hallelujah. There's fixing to be some acceptance into the body. Moses finished the work. And when he finished the work, then a, what's your Bible say? Cloud. Now notice, when everything comes into place and everything comes into position, the cloud descends. And it covers the tent, watch what it's called, of the congregation. Well, Brother David, I don't like the cloud. You're covered anyway. I ain't sure it is a cloud. I don't know what it is. I don't care what you think it is. You're covered. Well, I got my opinions. You're still covered. You can't do away with it. You can't renounce it. You can't stand against it. Because the cloud covered the people. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Let me make sure I got this right. After the cloud descends, come on. The next thing that happens is, as the glory of the Lord fills the tabernacle. The glory fills the tabernacle after it's completed. After justification. After sanctification. After the restoration of the gifts. Amen. The next thing that happens is after the gifts get in their place and Moses finished the age, the cloud descends. And after the cloud descends, he's coming down to fill some tabernacles. What are you talking about? I'm talking about the capstone, brother. I'm talking a place where the headstone is descending upon somebody. And it's got to match his life to descend upon him. And so much that Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. When the showbread was in its place and the laver was in its place and the candlesticks was in its place and the veil was in its place and the mercy seat was in its place, down comes the glory of God. Yeah.
I said when everything gets in its position, when the bride recognizes who she is, the glory of God takes her home. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation. Notice the word cloud. It comes from the word awning. God, that's just too good. Cloud. Cloudy. Cloud mass. A theophonic cloud. Which is where we get the English word theophany. Making that up. It's where we get the word theophany. Now, when you look the word theophonic up in Wikipedia, glory, we're updated. It's the manifestation of God to the people. The sensible sign by which the presence of God is revealed. Now, if I understand theophany right, and there's a lot I do not understand about it. I promise you, there's a lot. But when you talk about theophany, a theophany cannot be killed. It cannot be slain. Come on, somebody. Because it's represented by God, and God is veiling himself in that. So when you see the cloud descend, it's showing that the cloud is the visible theophany of God descending to the people. It's the visible sign that God had approved the tabernacle that Moses finished. When the tabernacle gets finished, the theophany meets with the body, and we become glorified. Amen. Now, Brother tells us, we got a body, we got a spirit, and then we got a soul. Amen. Now, the outer court of our body is where the outer court, of course, and the tabernacle is where the sacrifice was offered at. It's where you received your forgiveness at. It's where you pleaded for mercy at. Was for the outer court. But the inner court is the next chamber of the temple. That's where the incense and the candlesticks is at. And the lights, watch now, the lights burns from the oil that's within the lamps. So the oil is identified in the inner court. But the only problem with that, it burns from one age to another age to another age. And the same light that lit the first age is the same light present in the last age. But then comes the holiest of holies. And there you pass the sacrificial blood. You pass the confession. You pass the prayers of the saints, the offerings. You come where the Shekinah glory is. That's where God really wants to meet man at. That's where his presence, that's where you meet him at. Think about it. Where do you meet him at? You don't meet him in the outer court only. You don't meet him just in the inner court. But inside of a box, inside of a room, inside of a temple, inside of a city, inside of a nation, we find the covenant, we find the mercy seat, we find God's presence. And David said, that's where I want to dwell at. That's where I want to dwell at. I want to dwell right where the world is shut out. That's where I want to commune with him at. Right there in that holy place. The secret place of the Most High. That's where I want to abide at. Now let me hurry. The next place, of course, is Solomon's temple. And I'll just try to close with Solomon. Here, David. David, we know, has a son. Glory. And David is not going to build the tabernacle because he'd shed too much blood. But Solomon, the son of David, glory, he's going to build a temple for God to dwell. Well, let me just parallel it, save us time. So we find that God is going to have a dwelling place. A place, oh God, that Jehovah can dwell at. Talking about Solomon's temple, but I'm referring to Christ. It's going to be a place that God can dwell at. He can be known from. He can be revealed from. Is in the dwelling place of Jehovah. Now let me tell you about the moral sermon. But that ain't where the story stops. But Jesus is going to have a place. where he dwells at, where he abides at, where he reveals himself from. Now David instructs Solomon. And watch what David does. David brings back the ark to Jerusalem. But it was living in a temporary dwelling place. And he wanted a permanent place to dwell at. Now, the priesthood, oh God, the top is just beautiful. The priesthood was in confusion because the ark would place be moved here, it'd move over here, it'd be here one day, it'd be in Jefferson one day, in Arizona the next day, and the priesthood's in confusion. Where do we go? What do we do? Do we all need to move to Arizona? Do we need to stay in Jefferson? What do we need to do? But the priesthood couldn't come into order until the ark got put back in its place. See that, brother? The priesthood, they're not sure what the world, should we move here? What should we do? I'll just remind you. God, I can't hardly keep from it. I'll remind you what we're to do. 1962 serves this a time. What should we do? Remember, six dreams and a vision. And the vision was, he was on top of that pyramid, and he had a crowbar in his hand, prying on top of that pyramid, and when he pried it open, he seen a white stone in there. Amen. Couldn't really make out what it was. Preach somebody. But he said, it's for me to return back to the west. But he tells the men this, stay here and look on this. Stay here and look on this. Now, according to the scripture, the priesthood can only come into order when the word gets back into its place that God ordained it to be in. And he says it like this in the scripture of 1 Chronicles 28:10. He said, take heed now, for the Lord has chosen thee to build a house for the sanctuary. And then he says, be strong and do it. And David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. Watch the words. And fear not. Every time the tabernacle is to be set up, he says the same thing. Fear not. Nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, he will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished the work and for the service of the house of the Lord. And behold, the courses of the priests and the Levites, even they shall be with thee for all the service of the house of God. And there shall be with thee all manner of workmanship, every willing, skillful man in any manner of service. You're going to have some help in this. You're going to have some help. The princes and all the people with the holy at thy commandment. Think about this. The building of this tabernacle, it's intertwined with man. Man is in every part of it. It takes a man's hand to fashion this and to build this and to put this together. It's all intertwined. God is using the agency of man to build a place. Oh, God. Now notice, Brother says like this in the message dedication. If you'll notice, Solomon never varied one. Now watch how Solomon builds this. Let me just lay this out. David receives this and he tells Solomon. So Solomon is receiving his orders from his father. He doesn't do nothing unless the father tells him. He doesn't do anything unless the father shows him first. So the Father is revealing to the Son. Glory. Watch. Dedication. If you know, Solomon never varied for one bit from the pattern that Moses saw on Mount Sinai. Glory. But he saw in heaven. Moses, when he returned from his vision, he pitched the tent and made it just exactly like he saw it in heaven. And when Solomon built the temple, he made it just exactly the way he seen the pattern, the top. Again, he says, if you notice, if you notice the material, now watch, this is the son of David building a temple. But all the material wasn't found in only in Palestine. Glory, somebody. There's going to be about 144,000 in there, but there's going to be some outside there. If you notice, the material glory wasn't found only in Palestine, this temple, because it just wasn't there. He had to go to the rest of the world, the known world, to find these parts that go in the temple. Oh, what a beautiful application it is that God don't just cut his materials out of Jews only. Or only the white, or only the brown, the red, or the black, or whatever colors they may be, or whatever, just the United States, or just out of Canada. But he cuts his materials from all of the world. God's not just going to have a bride from Jeffersonville. You don't have to live in Jeffersonville to be the bride. You don't have to live in Tucson to be the bride. You don't have to live in Phoenix to be the bride. You don't have to live in Johnson City. Come on, somebody. Brother Ram said, Brother Ram, is there a place that the bride must be at in order to go in the rapture? He says, yes, in Christ. He cuts his materials from all the world. Again, he says, paragraph 42, if while they were cutting the stone of a certain kind that was found in such a part of the country, and maybe cutting a stone over in another nation to fit this stone. Now watch what they're doing. They're cutting these stones to bring the stones from all over the world, glory, to be able to build this temple. Oh God. So every stone has got to be honed according to the blueprint. And one person can't go under, can't go into the building if they got some type of sin in their life. They can't fit into a smooth building. But everybody's got to come the same way. By one spirit, we're all, come on somebody, baptized into one body. We've all got to be cut to be honed down to make sure we fit into the body perfectly. Brother Abraham said, see, maybe cutting a stone over in another nation to fit the stone. He said, but notice to fit the cut that was in another nation. Now, it might have seemed very strange to the people. Passersby had seen these old, these odd-looking stones being cut. But God, in his own way, I like when he does it his way. He's doing something. I think he's doing the same thing today in the anti-type. He said that's what he's doing. He's cutting them in the way that he wishes. And we find out the materials being cut in their own native land was a peculiar a material cut in another's native land. We find that they were all transported either by ox cart or so forth, or Fords or Chevrolets or trains or buses or airplanes or anyway. He said, some of them come by sea, some come by ox cart, some floated down the Jaffa of our raft, and others they was just hauled in. So everybody's packing these stones around. God have mercy. And at the end of this message, Brother Ram said, stones represent confessions. So everybody's packing their confession of where they stand at. And when the enemy would come against me to be able to topple my stone, when they meet the stone, they stumble and fail. If you fall upon it, you shall be broken. If it falls upon you, you shall be crushed to pieces. How strange it must be. Everybody packing these books on me, packing this stone around. Whew. I feel like preaching convention right now. I've only been studying this about 2 months here. Anyway, he says, it all together come. They was coming to, I love this, watch again. They was hauled in and all together they were coming to one place for one purpose. God help me right there. God help us all. We're coming into one purpose. And that's to fulfill the command of God. Because the command of God is the word of God. The spoken, we got to fulfill the command of God. The cedars was cut up in Lebanon. Verse 45, and Lebanon cedars was the most noted cedars in all the world like today. There's one place that has redwoods found. That's in California. There's one place they call in Africa on the Mossel Bend. That's a famous wood that's called stinkwood. God. Anyway. And they never found nowhere else but there. And there's different timbers found in different parts of the country. Now, we don't all like the same kind of wood. Oh, no, we don't. Some people just want it just to be real quiet wood. Some people like it to be real noisy wood. Some people like it just to, as long as it smells good, is all I care. They want that sweet smelling savor. But it's coming from all over the world. And cedars was found at Lebanon, in a very tall cedar, hard because it was in warm country. Watch this. It was hard because it was in warm country. And the warmer the country, the harder the timber gets. It's pretty hot around this area. And I mean some hard wood around this area. You get enough heat from the pulpit, the harder the wood gets. Of course, then you got some places in the country, Brother Bram said, that's colder. And he said they're colder in the country. And the colder it is, the softer it becomes. But if it's soft, that ain't necessarily bad. That means it's pliable. And this has spiritual application, cold and indifferent, soft and flowing. But when it's warm, spirit-filled, it clings together and becomes useful in the master's hand. And we find that these great cedars were hewn down by the hewers. They had the blueprints. Glory. They had brought them together from the different parts of the world. The materials cut out of their own native land. And Barak says, brought into one place. And when they were brought together, he says, I'm quoting this now, when they were brought together, they were so perfectly fit, the space of 40 years, that it was taken to the construction up there. There wasn't one stone that had to be resawed. There wasn't a buzz saw or a sound of a hammer for 40 years. You're talking about masonry and architecture. Amen. You know why? Because if every stonemason's doing his job, every stone's going to be cut by the Holy Spirit. And we'll all blend and fit together perfectly in harmony because there's only one spirit and there's only one body. Amen. That's right. He says, for 40 years, you know about masonry and architecture. It showed that when we're doing anything, you do it in a pattern that God has set for us. Me and those stones look very odd, but there was one place in the temple for every odd, peculiar stone. Oh, I know. I'm an odd duck. I'm an odd stone. I mean, I'm an odd stone. You look, man, there's something wrong with that guy. There is. I have to agree with you 100%. Something wrong with that guy. All I can say is there's a place for even some of us odd stones. If you're a little bit odd, God's got a special place just for your oddness. Hallelujah! But brother, when all the stones get into the temple, they're not looking at which one's an odd stone, which one's a beautiful stone. They're looking at the building in its wholeness. Oh, our ministry, which is a beautiful top there. The antitype shows that our peculiarity, our way of worship, when the temple, the real temple, they'll come in a few, after a few minutes coming together, there'll be a place for every odd acting person. We may look at funny to someone else. Amen. I'll just help you right there. Amen. You may act a little funny. Amen. But remember, it's the place there for us. God cutting out His church. You might be a young person and say, well, I just don't feel like I fit in. God's got a place perfectly for you. Matter of fact, there ain't nobody else like this. You're just an original by God. He wants you exactly the way you are. He don't want you like me or somebody else or another young person or another preacher. He wants you just the way that He made you because He's got a specific place for you in the body. Amen, preacher. Oh, hallelujah. Drop down 1 Kings 8, 6. And the priest brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord into His place. I love that. They brought it into His place. He calls the word His. Into the oracle of the house, to the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubim. For the cherubim spread forth their wings over the ark, and the cherubims covered the ark and the staves thereof. And there was nothing in the ark save the two tables of stone which Moses put there at Horeb. And the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel. And when they came out of the land of Egypt, now notice when the original stones got in their position, when the ark, the original word got put in its place, according to the vision, watch what comes down. And it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place that the cloud, theophonic mass, filled the house of the Lord. So that the priest could not even stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. I want to remind you of verse 14 as I close. And the king turned his face about. Hallelujah, somebody. And the king turned his face about and blessed the congregation of Israel. So when his face was turned, it was a sign of blessing. When his face was turned, the congregation of Israel got blessed. Think about it. It was on the seventh month that the temple was completed. Amen, somebody. On the seventh month after all the building, on the seventh month after all the stones, after all the labors, at the seventh month after every block got in its position, God's glory shows up. The completion of the temple. And under Revelation 10:7, come on somebody. Under Revelation 10:7, the mystery of God should be finished as He's declared to His servants, the prophets. The word gets restored, and when the word gets restored, down comes the wings of the angels. Down comes the cloud. Down comes the glory. Down comes the mighty angel of Revelation 10. And the king turned his face and he blessed the people. Hallelujah. And when Jesus come down to the water, here come a dove, a bird, descended from heaven like a dove. And it lighted upon him. And he filled the house with the Holy Spirit. It was under the wings. It was under the wings. On the wings of a snow white dove. God sent down His pure sweet love. Hallelujah. Finally, as the musicians would just come, we find that it moves from that tabernacle. And it's so sad because Solomon's temple is built and then it's destroyed. It gets rebuilt, gets destroyed, gets rebuilt, gets torn down. But you knew it was only going to be a type. It's because the scripture says, whenever the Christ comes into the world, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest, but a body thou hast prepared me. And when he come this time, he come by the vision of the perfect vision of the perfect pattern of the perfect word. There's a little 16-year-old girl that had just come from church that morning, Brother Ram said, heard the preacher preaching about Isaiah 7:14. And she said, that's me. And now the word coming to this young girl. And through that incubator, none of her own, none of your own, through the outer court, was going to come the inner court. Here comes Christ, the tabernacle. And the tabernacle of God dwelt among us. And John says it like this, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And for a long time, I thought there was only, I thought the next verse after verse 1, I thought was, and the Word was made flesh. For a long time, I didn't even realize there was 14 other verses laying there. Because every time Brother Bram quotes St. John 1:1, he says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. But he says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. But we find out in between there, there was a man that had to introduce that. And this man wasn't the light. He was sent to prepare and bear witness of the light. To make a way that when the light comes, he could identify him. And a man by the name of John, he was sent to bear. He was not the light. He was only sent to bear witness of the light. That others that are in the world may be able to behold. And I love it because he said, we beheld his glory. We beheld the glory. From theophonic cloud in the tabernacle, from theophonic cloud to Solomon, here he comes. Think about it. From thought to theophany to flesh. Tabernacle in humanity. Brother Ram calls it like this, Jehovah in a manger. Jehovah crying. God, I love it. Jehovah screaming. Jehovah running. Jehovah playing. Jehovah. Let's stand on our feet tonight if you would. God bless you. The secret place of the Most High. Oh, praise be to God. Isn't His Word powerful?
Yes, sir.
Isn't His Word wonderful?
Yes, sir.
To think that whenever Solomon was there, and he'd give them every command, these builders went to putting these stones together one after another. But then they take this one stone that showed up on the scene. And this stone was to be put into this building. But when the builders looked at that stone, they said, throw that stone away. That's the ugliest. That stone ain't meant to be here. Push him to the side. Push him away. And they act like everything was just fine. They just went right on building. But the problem is they started building higher. But they could only go so high because they'd missed a stone. And the scripture called him the cornerstone. And without the cornerstone, you can only go so high. And you'll come back down. And the building will fall apart because it's got to have the cornerstone. And the Bible says it was the cornerstone that the builders rejected. Oh, but I'm so glad the cornerstone showed up. They said he's a soothsayer. They say he's Beelzebub, and they cast him to the side. But they just didn't realize who this one stone was. Daniel saw him one day. He come rolling off the top of a mountain. And Daniel described the image. And when he described him, he just started at the feet and went from the feet all the way up to the head. And Brother Ram said, went from the head all the way down to the feet. And Brother Ram said, when it got to the feet, the stone rolled off that mountain and it crushed the idol, the image. It crushed it. It crushed it underneath the stone. And here they come against Jesus. Think about what's on their mind. They want to crush this man. We want to do away with this man. And they were scared of him because the Bible said the multitude considered him to be a prophet, and they were scared to death of this stone. But because he was rejected, he was going to allow these other stones to be accepted. And was working right into the very plan of Almighty God. Because God was going to allow this other nation to be able to be grafted in and raised up. I trust you believe you're one of them. I trust to believe that you're part of it. I'm part of this body. Amen. Amen. Lord, prepare me. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary.
Say